on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, August 25th, 2025 edition. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know school is starting to come back in session. But regards to the stock market, the narratives continue, especially as the market is starting to shift a little bit. And it's never time to lose focus. This is the time to rebalance your portfolio as market shifts. And our job here is to help you understand those trends, both in the near, medium, and long term. Okay. And give you perspective and data, along with answering your finance and investment questions. That's what we do each and every day on Invest Talk. That's our simple mission, is to help you take that next step in your journey towards financial freedom. So in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance, run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hey, Invest Talk guys. I was hoping you guys could take a look at Supermicro Computer, ticker's SMCI. And let me know what you think about it. It just pulled back. Is this a buying opportunity? Things in the news about potential fraud. Over, is that something that's still a headwind for the company? I know that came out past few months or past year. It's got me hesitant, but I feel like a lot of the analysts talk about all this growth and it could potentially be undervalued and this might be a good opportunity to buy. So I'll listen on the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, looking at Super Micro Computer, and you make a fantastic point, and it's a reason I would avoid it, is because when there's smoke, there's fire. There are some recent accounting issues and a lot of worries about fraud there. And, you know, there's a lot of short interest here. And that can create big rallies, but there's a reason why there's so much short interest, right? Because, once again, when there's smoke, there's fire. That's what history sets. And now Supermicro, they make application-optimized server systems, mainly for AI development. And so not only do you have the risk of AI in infrastructure investment slowing, I don't think it's going to go away, but it's most likely going to slow due to the lack of killer applications being developed, the slower progression of AI capabilities, which was kind of shown recently with the rollout of ChatGPT-5. And so, you know, you have those double risks there. Are they really selling as much? Do they really have the right margins? And even if you look at what they're posting recently, earnings last quarter were down 24% year over year. And the previous quarter before that, they were down 53% year over year. So full year 2025 earnings are expected to actually decline 3%. So where's the beef here? Where is this killer application, killer products that they are producing? They really aren't. They're not producing anything special compared to a lot of the other server makers that are out there. Okay, so I don't see an economic moat. I see a lot of potential risk around the accounting issues, and then obviously a slowdown in AI investment. So I wouldn't buy into the hype, and the technicals, frankly, are looking pretty poor as well. So I'm passing on it. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll cover all of it. Our main focus point concerns the 12 total freeways to save money fast and boost your passive income. Okay, so we'll dig into how many of these make sense for you. Maybe some of them, maybe none of them. We'll dig into that. In addition, we'll talk about stagflation. We are in a stagflationary environment. Okay, what does that mean for things like treasuries and gold and equities, etc.? So we'll dig into that in more detail. Also, we have now a stagnant labor market. Jerome Powell kind of spoke to that at the Jackson Hole speech on Friday. I will dig into the details there, what that really looks like. Really, it's a whole lot of holding on to workers, but not a whole lot of hiring new workers. Okay, so we'll dig into the details there. And then lastly, how the lack of immigration is transforming the labor market. We also have voice bank calls. One is in regards to the VIX and the other is retirement accounts. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. But we're heading into a short break. So please remember to call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now live at 888-99-CHART. But up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
Okay, got to get serious with my finances. I've been working a long time, and I know there's still got to be more that I can do to build my wealth quicker. I don't want to have to work forever.
If you are not maximizing your employer-sponsored retirement plan, KPP Financial can help. With our professional oversight, you can potentially enhance your investment performance by an average of 3% annually. At KPP Financial, we provide a comprehensive 401k management program designed to optimize your retirement savings. Our approach includes creating custom investment allocations tailored to your goals and risk tolerance. That can make a big difference in your favor.
Maybe it's time to tune up my retirement plan.
For more information on how you can take control of your retirement savings, visit our website, kppfinancial.com.
KPP Financial. Sounds good.
Hiring shouldn't be a hassle, nor a drain on your budget, right? Okay, then maybe you should look into Upwork. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. The truth is, scaling your business requires the right expertise at the right time. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable with industry-low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, let's take a look at the market today. It was an overall down day. Wasn't major, but we didn't really get follow-through from that rally on the back of Jackson Hole on Friday. Kind of what you would like to see, but we didn't really get that today. You had the S&P really close near the lows and down almost 0.5% there. The NASDAQ, same thing, kind of closed near the lows and was down about 0.25%. The Dow down near over 0.75%. So that was interesting kind of end of the day activity. And you know, I think the reason there wasn't more volatility is because the really big news comes later in the week. So Wednesday, we have, after the bell, we have the NVIDIA earnings. And with NVIDIA now being the largest company by market cap in the world, and a very heavy weight at the, I think it's 7% of the S&P itself, that is going to be a big market mover, you know, especially with the downstream impact of what they say and what that report will look like to the rest of the market, right? If they sell off, then a lot of other AI type of names likely sell off as well, and vice versa. So I think the market's kind of waiting for that. Thursday, we get more jobs numbers, and then Friday is the PCE figure. And the PCE is the Fed's most preferred inflation gauge. It is expected to accelerate to 2.7% year over year, 0.3% month over month. You know, will that surprise the upside or the downside? We'll see. So those are kind of the bigger market moving events later in the week. So, but interesting kind of sell or lack of follow through on Friday. What else moved? Well, dollar index was up 0.8%. The gold, even with the strong dollar, was a little changed. Bitcoin down 4.7%. And this is actually interesting to me. This was the most notable market movement since the Jackson Hole event, is the fact that Bitcoin is not seeing a requisite follow through to the upside. I've said before, if you go back to 2021, for example, Bitcoin peaked about 4 to 6 weeks before the equity markets did. And so if you're not getting follow through to the upside on Bitcoin, then that is a signal to the rest of the market. And what's happened here is Bitcoin now, lost the 110 level. I said recently, if it breaks the 112 level, that is a bit of a warning sign. And remember, because this is a proxy for liquidity. And so you're starting to get the Bitcoin trade rolling over. And this is telling me that this rally off Jackson Hole, I have a strong feeling it's not going to hold, at least in the short term. Now, once again, this isn't saying, oh, this is the top and, you know, the market's going to roll over 20-30% from here. No, I don't think that's probably where we're at. I do think we have one last phase in this broader growth phase that we've had since the bottom in 2021, right? Late 2022 is when the market bottomed, right? And so I think we're in this last phase, or going to go into the last phase, but usually get a kind of a pullback as the market is overbought. And I think we're heading for that in the shorter term. And Bitcoin is a signal for that. What else happened today? You had WTI that was up 1.6%, so oil a bit stronger. And yeah, oh, treasuries, they were weaker. So you did see yields up about 4 basis points on the short end. Okay. So that was interesting, is that kind of gave back a little bit of that move in the on Friday on the back of the Jackson Hole meeting. So pretty interesting day in markets, and we'll get more data as we get through the week. And every day we receive questions from the comments section of the Invest Talk YouTube channel, and here comes one that came in earlier. SSJ Baller says, hi, Justin, what are your thoughts on silver now? Is it time to take profits or hold longer? Looking at EXK. EXK is the symbol. And this is Endeavor Silver. And it's a smaller name, $1.5 billion market cap. They are supposed to lose money this year, but make 48 cents next year, which would be a huge all-time highs in earnings. Trading at 575. Now, will they make that? Probably not, but that's what analysts currently project. Now, the broader question is, how much silver exposure do you want to have? Now, I do think silver will continue to go up. You know, we're in the midst of monetary debasement, and that's kind of the only way out here with our debt situation is monetary debasement. A weaker dollar will certainly help gold as well as silver. And when you're in a precious metal bull market, historically, silver does outperform. But we're also in this environment where central banks around the world are buying a ton and ton more gold. Are they buying a lot more silver? No, not really. So we continue to lead on gold. I think it's okay to have some silver exposure, but if you're betting on precious metals in general to guard against monetary debasement that is likely ahead, I don't think silver is where you want to lean. Let's get, can you have exposure? Sure. I think you still want to lean gold. So if you have no silver exposure and you have substantial gold exposure, whether it's through miners or GLD or some other gold proxy, that's good. And adding this is fine. But probably wouldn't be my favorite silver name. And once again, it wouldn't be where the majority of my precious metal exposure would be. Thanks for the question. I love those YouTube questions. Now, what are we going to bivvying to? Oh, we're going to a live call right now. Don in Orinda, California.
Yes, yes.
Looking at UPS.
I'm curious. That's exactly right. 1 year and a few days ago, I purchased UPS, understanding that it was going to come under a little bit of pressure. Mm-hmm. I'm now down 30%. Should I just go ahead and dump it, or is it still?
Well, it depends on your time horizon. It depends on your time horizon. You know, the technicals on UPS continue to struggle. Obviously, there is the there's the tariff issue that's going to probably reduce the supply, the flow of goods throughout our economy, and UPS is in the crosshairs of that. So, and the technicals continue to kind of weigh on the picture in the shorter term. Now, at some point, this is going to bottom out. We're still going to see products move. It's still a good business with a good balance sheet, with good profitability. So am I hopeful that this turns around in the next week or month or by year end? I don't get jazzed up in that risk proposition. Now, do I get excited about buying it here if I have a 5-year time horizon? Yeah, I think this is a good valuation to make that bet, right? Price of sales now is down around 0.83, which I don't think it's ever been this low. Outside of the financial crisis, 08, that's the last time UPS on a price to sales ratio basis has been this low. So from that perspective, I would hold it. So it just depends on your time horizon. Thanks for the call. Now we're heading to a break. I'm ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk Innovators. Now, while I have your attention, let me tell you about the new series debuting on our InvestTalk YouTube channel. Called InvestTalk Innovators, Luke and I will be bringing you insightful interviews with company leaders, founders, and visionaries. In our first episode, Luke spoke with Perrin Bakta, the mind behind Inside Ownership. He led some of the philosophy around investing in founder-led businesses, can offer a real advantage, and passes on some practical tips that you don't want to miss. And to watch the full interview, visit our InvestTalk YouTube channel today. And stay tuned for more conversations with more InvestTalk innovators coming up. And we have a really big one in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that. Now, my focus point concerns this 12 total free ways to save money fast and boost your passive income. So these are simple in many ways, but different ways to really boost your income for without huge outlays. Okay. So the first is obviously dividend stocks, you know, transitioning portfolios to produce more income, especially if you're just owning the index. That's pretty low dividend yields. And there are higher dividend yielders out there. And you could build a portfolio of really strong, with really strong income. The issue is that you certainly have to manage it. And there are a lot of what are called value traps out there where the dividends look juicy, but those dividends will get cut at some point because of the lack of strength in the business, the balance sheet. So when you're doing that, you want to make sure you are picking dividend payers prudently and with deeper research. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is REITs. And this is, I would not buy private REITs. So I would stay far away from that or anything. Those private REITs that they sell through online, et cetera. There are a lot of those out there. I would pass on those. But public REITs, they have to pass 90% of their taxable income to shareholders. So it's a pass-through entity. So this is a good way, especially for those that want real estate exposure in that income generation without having to manage a piece of property. And you want diversity amongst your assets beyond just your typical, you know, 11, 12 sectors that are out there in the market. Okay. Another would be peer-to-peer lending. You can lend your money out. Now, this has a lot of risk, but you are getting rewarded with high yields. So having a part of your portfolio in this can make sense, but think of it as high yield debt, right? Investing in high yield corporate bonds, for example, very similar type of risk profile, but probably even a little bit higher than what you're getting in the public markets. Then you get into the crypto space, crypto staking, NFT staking, NFT royalties, ebook royalties. Now, ebook royalties are separate, but DeFi yield farming. These are all different ways within the crypto space to earn more yield. Now, understand that there are drawbacks here. There's a lot of volatility within the crypto space, and you do expose yourself to a lot of underlying volatility of the assets. So make sure you pick your underlying asset carefully, very carefully. Then there's ebook royalties, right? Writing ebooks. Now you have to market it, you have to sell it, but it just takes your own mind and your own talent to pick a topic you know a lot about. And I think that could be a great way to do it as well. CD ladders. This is probably a very conservative way, probably one of the most conservative ways to earn more money on your money beyond just putting in a savings account. CD ladders can lock your money up, but kind of guarantee you income over time. This next one is one I probably love the most on this list, and it's creating content and monetizing. In the age of social media and the internet, you can find a million different ways to monetize your own talents. Substack is probably my favorite. I subscribe to multiple Substacks that provide fantastic content, almost all of it around economics or investing. And there's a ton of great ones out there. And maybe you have the talent to create the next great Substack. So doesn't cost you anything. And there are plenty of platforms that allow you to do that, whether, there's obviously others besides just Substack. But the next is print on demand. So coming up with own merchandise, you can drop ship, right? There's ways to get these items printed and shipped. It's just obviously up to you to design them and market them. Think coffee mugs, shirts, books, posters, things like that, that can be created in a very efficient way in today's economy. And then lastly, affiliate marketing. So becoming an influencer, a content creator, and getting others, pushing other people's products that maybe help or ancillary to what you do. So in a world where everyone's looking for income, and maybe some people don't have a lot of capital to create that income, there are different avenues to achieve that end goal, which is some sort of, I wouldn't say passive income. Passive income, I think, is overused, but income that just takes a little bit of work. And frankly, all income takes a little bit of work. Some a lot, some a little. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this story. There are fresh risks to the labor market, including slowing job growth and rising long-term unemployment. This may be opening the door to interest rate cuts. We'll dig into that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
You know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. Maybe you should make the switch to Mint Mobile. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So, while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. I like Mint Mobile, and I think you will too. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava Shakes come in 5 delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Kachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those 5 indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every 2 scoops of Kachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Kachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try Kachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with Kachava. Go to kachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava. KACHAVA.com. Code INVEST for 15% off.
...2025 rolls on, and you might have some fresh questions for Justin or Luke. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke. This is Josh in North Carolina. I had a question. I'm going back through Steve's book on investing, and around page 13, he talks about the VIX. And I track the VIX along with my other stocks, and he was talking about how the VIX can be used to signal might be time to purchase or sell a stock. I'm a little confused on that. Could you guys go back over that at some point on your show and just discuss the purpose of the VIX and maybe a few examples of what those numbers might trigger? I know they're relative values, but I've been listening to some other podcasts hearing one or two folks mention the VIX these days just as a signal that the market may be getting ready to change, maybe getting ready to slow down or something, not sure. But if you would, enjoyed reading about it in Steve's book, but just need a little bit more clarification on how to use the VIX. Thanks a lot.
Great question. And certainly there needs more context after, since Steve wrote that book. Steve wrote that book a long time ago. But the institution of volatility, vol selling funds, shall we say, has kind of changed the dynamics of the VIX a little bit, but I'll dig into that after I give you the broad overview. The volatility index is simply a put-call ratio, how many puts versus calls are being traded. And when it's elevated, it means that a lot of puts are being bought on the market. And that means there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of people trying to buy protection. And usually when that happens, well, the market is set to bottom, right? It means that when you get a spike in the VIX, there's a lot of fear and, you know, you buy fear, right? You typically sell greed. And so that's what the VIX index is helping with. Is where are we in the fear and greed type of spectrum? And that's why when the VIX elevated, you know, 30 plus, that's usually a time to really, really buy in and add, you know, to get some cash from your portfolio and buy some positions, especially those that have been on your watch list. Now, with the volatility funds, you know, there's a lot of people going out there selling zero DTE, day till expiration options, and really trying to bring in income into their portfolios and their strategies. And there's a lot of now ETFs that are running those type of strategies. You saw this blow up a few years back. I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was pre-COVID when you had volatility just explode, and a lot of these went to nothing. So what you see now is that every dip that's is even, not even just being bought by the average investor, but that volatility is being sold, and that actually suppresses volatility over time. And it's actually kind of skewed the signal of the VIX because it's becoming more suppressed than it probably should be because of those vol selling funds. That's why you see the VIX now hanging around. Let's see where we're at now with the VIX. Hanging around the mid-teens. You know, usually the low 20s was where it was trading at many years ago before these vol selling funds. And now we're once again hanging in the mid-teens. So, you know, it's really about when does it spike? And that's really the best signal, right? The recent spike in April went up to 50, about 60, right? And so a signal that, you know, you want to be buying a bit into the market. So that's the way you want to use it. Thanks for the call. Let's go with another YouTube comment question. And Spen says, what are your thoughts on Celsius, C-E-L-H? I've been holding it for around 4 months and I'm about 60%. Do you think I should hold it long-term or should I be looking to sell? Now, this is a name I kind of liked a few months back and actually bought it for my personal account. We didn't buy it for clients because it was a bit too speculative, but I did buy it in the 20s or 30s. And frankly, I sold it in the 40s, so a little early, but now it's at 60. Now, so it's earning $1.10 this year and $1.49 next year. So one of the reasons I sold it was just got a bit elevated in price, and I think you missed it. I think at 60, it's not cheap. I think in the 20s, it was cheap because you know it still had that growth potential, good balance sheet, and I think that thought it was going to snap back in earnings. And that's what it's happened, right? Last year, 2024, earnings fell 9%. And so that's why the stock fell from a high around $100 per share to a low around 21. And that's natural. You know, you have company trading at very high multiple and growth goes negative. Well, that multiple is going to disappear. And it did. But now you're seeing a bit of growth. I don't think you're going to, this growth profile is all over the place. And so now it probably doesn't grow 57% earnings this year, another 35% next year. You know, that's probably pendulum swing the other direction. So I would keep an eye on it. I think at some point valuations get attractive again, probably sub 40, but not at $60 per share. Thanks for the call. Now let's talk about stagflation. And what does that mean for global markets? Now, this is according to Bank of America Global Research. This is in early August, early this month. They said 70% of global investors surveyed expect stagflation over the next 12 months. So you're talking about below trend growth and above trend inflation. That's stagflation. And you've seen that as of late. You've seen labor market weakening. You've seen inflation measures starting to perk up again. I said that in the back half of the year, you're likely to see that, and you're starting to get that, right? You saw the PCE, not PCE's Friday, the PPI, Producer Price Index, starting to reaccelerate. It typically leads CPI, that typically leads PCE indicators, okay? So if the labor market continues to flounder and you have a rougher economic picture, from a growth perspective, you're getting stagflation and those signs continue to creep in. But how does that manifest in markets if you solidify stagflation? Well, the first is longer dated assets tend to go down. Think of longer dated bonds. Okay. Why? Because they erode the value of fixed interest payments over time. Or think of going back to 2019, interest rates were low and interest inflation was low. And then you saw a huge price increases. Well, that eroded the value of those coupon payments multiple years out. Because the assumption was that the value of that dollar that you would get many years in the future would be roughly the same, right? There'd be a little bit of inflation, but not a big deal. But if you start to see stagflation, you're getting a lower dollar, most likely, because of the impact of the economy. So when the economy of the domestic market weakens compared to the rest of the world, that currency will weaken. And that's what you're seeing recently with the dollar declining. And so many investors, not just average individuals, but also pension funds, insurers, they invest in longer dated bonds as well. And they are certainly worried. They're pulling back from their exposure to those longer dated securities. And if you see a sell-off in 10-year, 30-year, et cetera, then you're going to see impacts across other asset classes that are longer duration. Think of growth stocks, for example. This is what happened in 2022 when interest rates rose dramatically. You have the NASDAQ down 33%. And a lot of the Ponzi type of names fell out of bed. The Pelotons of the world, et cetera, that just didn't have business models that were sustainable. Okay, so that's how it can manifest into the rest of the equity markets. And then you have other assets like gold. Gold will continue to be a tailwind to gold prices like it was in the 70s. And it already is an asset class that is go-to right now because of the geopolitical volatility that we're seeing and the fact that central banks around the world continue to buy it. And so gold will certainly get a continued tailwind. Other assets that might be good? Think of short duration inflation-linked securities. So think of short duration tips, 0 to 5 years. There's an ETF out there, STIP, kind of similar to that type of exposure. So that's the way stagflation, if it gets entrenched, will impact the markets overall. Let's go talk to Richard in Valencia looking at MAA and INVH, Invitation Homes.
Yeah. Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. Looking at investing in a REIT, investing in real estate, and two possibilities, the apartment side, the MAA, the Mid-American Apartments, mm-hmm. versus residential houses, the Invitation Homes. Given this economic environment, what do you think would be a better place to invest in?
I think it's pretty clear. It would be apartments. Because if you have a situation right now where prices across the board, and for the most part around the country, prices are elevated. The affordability indicators are very poor. And I think we're going to go through a 3, probably 5 year period where broadly housing prices are going to decline a little. Now, it's not going to be 08 where prices decline, 30, 40%, 50%, depending on the market, obviously, in a short period of time. I think it's going to be, single digit price declines in most markets for the next 3 to 5 years to correct this overvaluation in real estate more broadly. And I think there's going to be continued low activity within the real estate market because I think mortgage rates are going to stay relatively elevated. Can they come down? Could you see the 5 handle on mortgage rates right now? Mortgage rates are at 6.8% roughly. But could you see a 5? Sure. And that would help the housing market a little bit. But it's not going to change really the affordability crisis that we see throughout the country. That means more and more people are going to be forced to continue to rent because they can't afford to buy a home. And that's going to help the apartment sector. Now, we've done deep research on the apartment REITs out there. I will say Mid-America is not bad, but it's not the best in the REIT space when it comes to apartments. So I like what you're thinking, but I would definitely lean on the apartment communities more than the REITs that own single family residences.
If you're looking at, you know, having a little bit of diversification, we're not saying though, don't do any in like an Invitation Homes, but I think what I hear you saying, you'd put a lot more in the apartment than you would, you know, the houses.
Yes, but probably before I even go to housing REITs, I would diversify into other types of REITs out there, right? There's, you know, a dozen or so different types of REITs that you can invest in.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably rather own, and I usually don't say this, I rather own a mortgage REIT than a housing REIT. Okay. Then you get a better yield. You're getting exposure to housing, but you're getting it at a better, with better collateral, right? You're kind of getting the backing of the underlying, because I think there's still a lot of equity in these homes, but you're going to feel it. And you see that with Invitation Homes, relative strength is pretty bad, right? And so I would not be getting exposure to, they'd be low on the list. If I'm talking about, you know, the dozen or so type of REITs out there, a housing REIT would be very low on the list.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. Now let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for this question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. My name is Jim from New York. I have a general question about retirement accounts. I am currently a full-time employee, and I have a 403B. I also have a small business. I'm self-employed as well. I was wondering if I can max out my 403B for my full-time employment and also start another retirement account for my small business, can I contribute to two different retirement accounts, like a SEP IRA or another kind of a retirement account for my small business? Is that possible? Is it legal? Thank you.
Simple answer is yes, you can. Now, there are limitations to it. There's limitations basically in income and total contributions. So this is something that you want to talk to a tax advisor, whether that's a CPA or some other licensed tax advisor, to help you with that, because obviously I don't know your income. But you can. You can contribute to a 403B or a 401K or a TSP and contribute to an IRA or Roth IRA or a SEP IRA, depending on what you qualify for. But it depends on your total income and that total contribution. So make sure you talk to a licensed professional before you do that, okay? Or an advisor, a financial advisor like me, that would go over exactly what this looks like and help explain kind of where you're at within the rules of the tax code. Not a tax professional, but you know the basics. But once again, you have to know kind of intimately what that income really looks like. Okay. Thanks for the call. Great question. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't understand that it's not just your 401k. It's not just your 403B. It's not just even an IRA, right? You know, you have limitations to that, the capped contributions, but it's always good to consult with a tax professional before you make that contribution. Now, this is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. Let's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's talk a little bit about the labor market, something that the head of the Fed, Jerome Powell, talked about on Friday at Jackson Hole. And what he said was the labor market environment is curious. That was his quote, curious. And it's really a lot about shrunken supply of workers because of immigration restrictions. And that's the hiring side. That's the supply of labor side. But then there's the demand in labor that is also drying up as well. And it's an interesting case because there's not a lot of firings, very little, okay? But the pace of hirings has slowed dramatically. In June, the hiring rate, number of hires as a share of overall U.S. population was just 3.3%. In February 2020, pre-pandemic was 3.9%. And it was 4.6% as we were recovering from COVID in November of 2021. So 3.3 is very low. And there's a quote from the Dallas Fed monthly manufacturing survey. This was in July. And one executive said, quote, tariff changes require a sit back and watch attitude. There is no way to forecast, end quote. So it's the lack of clarity about the future economic environment, as well as the low labor supply, that is really the culprit. Now, there's the other aspect that is probably less discussed, and that's that employers, they overhire during the pandemic. So a lot of them have a lot of excess labor to throw on any demand, and it just doesn't make sense for them, with that lack of clarity, to continue to hire more. But they're also not laying off workers, because overall, you're still seeing earnings growth for companies, even though it's slowing, okay, across the economy. Now, layoffs as a share of total employment came at 1% in June. That's not much higher than the 0.9% reached during 2021 when, the market was, or the economy was roaring back, right? So people aren't getting laid off. They're just also not getting hired. And this is really hurting the younger people who are, right, graduating from college and looking for a job. And then those on the lower end of the spectrum, poorer workers, they're also starting to see their wage growth cooling. Because those owners, right, they're going to, I don't say punish, but they're going to pay less attention to those lower income workers than those higher paid workers that they need more. And you know, those lower income workers, they tend to, you're able to find that labor more often. Now, the risk here is that if you get a tick up in layoffs, you don't have that labor demand behind it to really offset a weakening jobs market or weakening demand for labor. There were about 1.6 million layoffs in June, and that was, the layoff rate was only 1%. Now, if that just goes up to 1.3%, suddenly you have about 2 million more people unemployed over the next year. And that's a recessionary type of rise in the unemployment rate. And currently, 1 in 5 U.S. employers surveyed, according to the Conference Board, said that they plan to slow hiring in the second half of 2025. So what you're seeing is that the economy is, the labor market is teetering. Now, it can teeter for a while. We can stay here for a while. Frankly, we've been here for six-ish months. And if you get the Fed easing and the yield curve steepening, and you get banks to kind of fill in the gap, if total earnings in the economy are declining, but that's countered by more bank lending, you could see the labor market hanging in there for a little bit longer. And that's why I say, I don't think we're at the end of this growth phase, but we're getting into the 8th or 9th inning. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, your taxes, your retirement planning, whatever that is, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, and we can set up a call and help bring clarity and confidence to whatever you are doing, whatever your goals are, wherever you sit today. And we thank you for listening, but we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, or watch our videos by heading over to our YouTube channel. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. It's Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.